Not sure whether you're aware of this or not, but each year, the fourth Sunday of Easter is known as Good Shepherd Sunday. In each year of our three-year lectionary cycle, that cycle that the lectionary gives us our readings each Sunday, each of the 3 years, a different part of John chapter 10 is read, and each part talks about Jesus being the Good Shepherd. Notice they're not passages about the good sheep, but passages about the Good Shepherd. Because sheep, well, let's just say sometimes I wouldn't be too surprised if shepherds just kind of rolled their eyes and muttered under their breaths, "Are you kidding me?" I saw something on the internet the other day that caught my attention. Perhaps you might see what I mean. Have a look at this. Wouldn't be surprised if some shepherds probably end up pulling their hair out. The patience that some of them would have to have. And yet, thinking about that video, while we did see the boy pull the sheep out of that ditch only once, I wouldn't be surprised if he went on and helped that wayward sheep again. After all, that's what shepherds do, at least good shepherds. When I think of that sheep stuck in that ditch, I can't help but think how reassuring it must be belonging to a good shepherd. I'd like us to spend some time today looking at our passage from John's Jesus story. Certainly spending some time reflecting on the shepherd, but also reflecting on the sheep. And the implications that come with belonging to the fold of the shepherd. Now, before we begin, as always, it's important that we understand something about context. Now, remember, context refers to what was going on in and around the time when the passage was unfolding. But there's also another layer when it comes to context. The community to which the story was written. Now, our passage today wasn't written simply by John as things were unfolding before him. No, it was written years later, after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And at that time, John was not just writing an account for the sake of history, but writing for the sake of a community. That community might wrestle with what it means, what it meant to be a true disciple of Jesus. Now, in the historical context, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees, they were the religious leaders of the day. They were people who often were butting heads with Jesus. They were challenging Jesus. They didn't like the things Jesus was saying. They didn't like the things Jesus was doing. And you know, sometimes it can be important for us to see ourselves in them. Just as it would have been important for John's community to see themselves in those Pharisees. Because it can be so easy, when we think of the Pharisees, we can be thinking of those other people out there that are doing the wrong things. So it can be important for us to kind of include ourselves in with them sometimes. But it also would have been important for John's community to hear Jesus' words, not just as being words directed to the community of to the Pharisees, but also as words directed at the community of believers. It's important that they reflect on the words. Important that they allow the words to linger with them. I believe that as they did that, they would have been able to hear God speaking to them. And they would have come to understand more the implications that followed belonging to the fold of the shepherd. So what does our passage reveal to us today? Well, I think our passage says something about community. Listen to what it says in verse 14. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." Now, for us to really get anything out of the passage, we need to get to know some things about sheep and shepherds. And in living in Alberta, that doesn't come naturally to us. We don't see all that many sheep. In Jesus' day, sheep were a dime a dozen. They were all over the place. A few years back when Matt and I did our walk across Ireland, we felt somewhat similar because we saw sheep all over the place. So many pastures of sheep where we were walking. And sometimes we were even walking, our trails went right through the sheep pastures. But in my 30 plus years living in Alberta, I think I could count on one hand the number of sheep farms I've seen. And getting up close and personal with sheep in these 30 years, I think that likely the only time that's really happened is at the Calgary Stampede, watching the sheep shearing happen. One of the important things to recognize about sheep is that they're not solitary animals. They're communal animals. Unlike some animals that like to be on their own, sheep like to be with other sheep. And that's particularly noticeable when they're frightened. You see, sheep are very skittish animals. They frighten very easily. Mandy and I realized that very quickly when we were walking in Ireland, because as we were walking through some of those pastures, the moment some of those sheep actually lifted up their heads from eating, they looked up and they saw us, then they quickly scattered. And generally, they would scatter towards other sheep. Sometimes if they started running just instinctively, then once their heads were up and they noticed there were no other sheep around them, then they would start to veer off to the place where other sheep were. Now maybe that's because they figure that if they're fleeing from a predator, better to give the predator a choice as to which one the predator wants for dinner. I mean, staying on their own isn't all that wise. And don't we sometimes hear that if you run into a wild animal in the bush, doesn't really matter how fast you run, as long as you're faster than the person that you're with. Well, all kidding aside, while that may have played a part in that flight response of sheep, the fact still remains that even when they're not scared, sheep are communal animals. They're at their best when they're with other sheep. I believe that for John's community, it was essential that they be reminded of the importance of community. It would have been very easy for them to isolate themselves. I mean, Jesus' return was taking a lot longer than people had expected. People were getting weary. And it would have been very easy to kind of pull back from community if they'd wanted to pick the community time selectively. I believe that John's community needed to be reminded of the importance of community. As John's community may needed to have been reminded of that, I believe that's something we need to be reminded of as well. Throughout Scripture, we see examples of the importance of community. We see that we're not meant to do life alone. We're meant to do life with others. That's why for so many people this pandemic time has been difficult, because it's been pushing us towards isolation. Those of you who know the five purposes of our church will recognize that one of them is this: to gather in community. As I mentioned in a recent sermon, when the pandemic is over, it may be tempting for us to just stick to the live stream. I mean, it's been fairly easy, hasn't it? And while there may be times when watching the service on live stream may be necessary, that won't meet the deeper needs that we have. We were made for community. And it'll be important for us to invest our time and energy into gathering. But community isn't just about having people in one place. Community is something far more intimate. And we get a sense of that intimacy in our passage today when Jesus talks about the relationship between the sheep and the good shepherd. Listen to what Jesus said in verse 14 once again. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I remember reading about sheep in the Middle East, and how sometimes many shepherds would keep their sheep inside the same sheep pen. Now, unlike cattle that are branded in order to identify which rancher they belong to, sheep aren't branded to identify who they belong to. So just imagine how difficult it could be sorting the sheep out when one shepherd wanted to leave and the other shepherds weren't leaving also. It'd be enough to give anyone a headache. And yet never did it do that. Because the sheep knew the shepherd. All the shepherd had to do was open up the pen and then start talking and walking, and his sheep would start to follow. They knew the shepherd's voice. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. This speaks to me about relationship. Relationship on a number of different levels. First, I find it giving me some encouragement, knowing that the good shepherd knows me. I don't have to do anything to be recognized. I don't have to impress him with my faithfulness before he will come to know me. No, he knows me as I am right now. And he accepts me completely. I find that encouraging. If you're watching this right now and you're on the fence about Jesus, I hope that encourages you too, to know that he knows you and he accepts you. I said recently in a sermon, but I think it's worth repeating here, that there is nothing that we can do to make God love us more. There is nothing that we can do that can cause God to love us less. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he knows his sheep, and he loves his sheep completely. This also speaks to me on another level. Not only am I encouraged that God knows me completely, but it also challenges me to reflect on how well I know the shepherd. Would I recognize his voice? Do I follow when he calls me? And if I'm ever unsure of that, what am I doing to come to know the voice of the shepherd more? What am I doing to build up the relationship? I mean, relationships, they're two-sided, aren't they? He does know me completely. That I am promised. But how well do I know him? This challenges me to grow in relationship. Thirdly, I find myself hearing another challenge. How am I engaging in community? How much of myself am I investing in really getting to know the people around me? If we belong to the fold of the shepherd, then we're called to be seeking to live like the shepherd. And the shepherd knows his sheep. How well do we know the other sheep around us? How much time do we engage, do we give to engage in the lives of the church community of which we're a part? Granted, we may not be able to get to know everybody in the church community, but neither are we to use that as an excuse not to engage with others. As sheep, we were made for community. Let's keep going in the passage. What else do we hear God saying to us today? Well, I was struck by these words of Jesus when in verse 16, he said this, I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Now remember our two contexts. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees and John sharing Jesus' teaching with the community to which he was writing. Both of those two groups could easily have been taken this as being in the context that they were. Now, we actually know that the Pharisees, they saw themselves as being of the sheep pen. I mean, they thought they were the in group. They were content thinking that they were the recipients of God's blessing, that they were the faithful ones, that they were the ones who deserved God's favor. And that was one of the reasons why they opposed Jesus so much, because Jesus was spending time with people that the Pharisees believed were outside of God's blessing. So when Jesus was seen to be eating at the home of a tax collector, or when Jesus allowed a prostitute to wash his feet with her tears and dry his feet with her hair, they decided that those people, they shouldn't be included. And so they were going against Jesus. As far as the Pharisees were concerned, they were the acceptable group. They were the clearly defined ones as being in. Those who were in were in. Those who were out were out. And John's community could very well have thought similarly. Now, while they would have been much more welcoming to the whole concept of grace, that it wasn't about meeting this standard before God would love or accept them, and that instead Jesus offered them grace unconditionally, I mean, that in itself would have uplifted John's community. That they had been accepted into the fold of Jesus. But you know, John's community could still very easily have simply received that grace and allowed themselves just simply to soak in it. To see that grace as being offered to them and to simply take it as something that they had received. But Jesus made it clear in verse 16, he said, "I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also." He was saying that there are always others who are meant to become part of the flock, and that we can never become complacent. You know, the church of Jesus is a missional church. The church of Jesus is always one in which not only are the doors open for those who might want to check things out, but the church is one in which Jesus' followers have in their hearts a desire to be reaching one more person. If as sheep were to be following the shepherd, we see that for Jesus there were never any outsiders. Sure, there were some who wouldn't join the party, like the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son who didn't like the fact that his dad welcomed the wayward brother, and so he stayed outside the party. While there are some who will refuse to join the party, the doors of the party are never closed. And the fact remains that as followers of Jesus, we need to be seeking to be like Jesus. Jesus knew that there were others. Others who were yet to be part of the fold. And John's community had to know, our community has to know, that we've always got to be making room for one more person to join us. And by Jesus saying that they aren't of this sheep pen, I think Jesus was stressing that our doors need to be open to people who may not even be like us. The fold of the shepherd is one of diversity. You know, I'm so thankful that after many years, the diversity of our church community has been widening more and more. But I still think we have to keep on going. We need to come to be a place where anybody, everybody, would feel welcome. I believe that's what God's call is to us. Briefly, one last thing. One more implication to those who belong to the fold of the shepherd. In our passage today, Jesus said these words in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Now, for the Pharisees who were listening to Jesus, I don't think they would have had any idea what Jesus was meaning here. But for John's community and ours, we think we understand him completely. As we look back on what happened, we see Jesus giving up his life for his sheep. And yet again, we can see this simply as something that's been completed. We can see this as simply as being something in which we have received, that Jesus died for us, that he laid down his life for us, that we might live. And I believe it's wonderful for us to know that. Such good news to be told that Jesus did that for us. As we recognize this act offered by Jesus, it reminds us of the depth of his love. Back in Jesus' day, there were shepherds who were real shepherds. They gave everything for their sheep. Now, the hired hands, they would just run away if ever the sheep were in danger. But shepherds, the real shepherds, they would do all they could to save their sheep. And likely, there were stories in Jesus' day, probably of shepherds giving up their lives for their sheep. Such dedication, such commitment, such love, that shows us and taken in the context of the Good Shepherd and his sheep, we can find that so encouraging, so comforting to know that Jesus' love for us is so far reaching. And yet once again, his words aren't just meant to be those words for us. They're not just words to be uplifting. They're not words just to make us feel good. They aren't just to cause us to marvel at the extent of God's love. No, in the context of community, the words have profound meaning. Because they remind us that the disciples of Jesus are called to service, to surrender, and to sacrifice. Belonging to a community is never to be about us. It's never about us getting our way. It's never to be about us having our needs met or getting looked after. Now, being part of the fold of the shepherd, being among the disciples of Jesus, means following the paths of the shepherd. And that was always about others. Being part of the community means we're called to be looking out for the needs of others. It means serving others. And you know, if we were all to do just that, always, we would find the needs of all of us always met. So I want to leave you with three questions today that I want to encourage you to reflect on the week. Each question focuses on each of the three points that I was talking about today. First question is this. In what way have you kept yourself from engaging in community? And what might Jesus be saying to you about that today? Second question. In what way have you allowed community to become a bit too comfortable? And what step might Jesus be calling you to take so that our community might become even more missional? And third question, in what way have you been one to make sure that your needs are met? And what is Jesus saying to you about sacrifice, surrender, and service? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. We thank you that he calls us into a community of his sheep. Lord, help us to engage in community. Let us wrestle with what it means to be part of that community. Help us to always be looking out to others. Help us always to have a focus on one more person. Lord, help us to know that it's about serving one another. That by doing that, we are serving you. All these things we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.